Jazz 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Iran attacks Israel. I'm Mark Remillard. How will Israel respond is now the question as a barrage of missile and drone attacks from Iran toward Israel appears over for now. Israeli officials say Iran fired off hundreds of weapons toward Israel Saturday in response to the April 1st bombing of Iran's consulate in Syria. Israeli forces, along with the U.S., intercepting the vast majority of the missiles and drones, ABC's Pentagon reporter Louis Martinez.
In a statement, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said that United States forces in the Middle East had intercepted dozens of missiles and drones that were headed towards Israel that had been launched from inside Iran, from Iraq, Syria, and Yemen. Austin said that U.S. forces would remain postured to protect U.S. forces in the region, and that includes partners, and that would mean Israel.
The U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem lifting its shelter-in-place order. This is ABC News. Monday marks the 128th running of the Boston Marathon. Security preparations underway and on alert as it's 11 years after the deadly terror attack at the finish line.
This year's running of the Boston Marathon falls on April 15th, the anniversary of the 2013 marathon bombing. Along with DHS and the FBI, Massachusetts State Police Colonel Jack Mon says there were no specific threats, but security still remains a top priority.
We are prepared to adapt our tactics on the fly if intelligence or events so dictate in the days leading up to the race through its completion.
Almost 50 law enforcement agencies will be working this weekend and during the event. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Authorities in Chicago say 8 people were shot Saturday night, including at least 3 children on the city's south side. Authorities say a 7-year-old girl was killed. A 1-year-old boy is in critical condition after being shot multiple times. Police say they're looking for 2 shooters and suspect it was gang-related. I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Max Inc. on Civic Media. Original local music until midnight tonight. It is time for Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. Powered by First Weber, the most trusted name in real estate. Buy or sell your next home now at movetomadison.com. And by Ignite Glass and Gifts, locally hand-blowing glass, 3 locations in Madison. And you can shop online at igniteglassandgifts.com.
Jimmy, the mascot theory has been kicking around Wisconsin weekend warrior style for the past decade. But like many musicians, the great pandemic-induced entertainment halt of 2020 forced the band to reflect and refocus musical efforts. With the core foundation of singer-songwriter Eric Kjellin and the rhythm section of Nick Fry on bass guitar and Paul Metz on drums, the mascot theory used this time off to slightly shift their sound away from their acoustic-driven folk rock music and into a more classic rock-inspired rock and roll groove, especially thanks to the addition of lead guitarist Corey Swadley. Here in the studio to perform with us live in the Lair, Eric, Paul, Nick, Corey, and Brandon, welcome to Max Inc. Radio.
Thank you. Yeah. So good to be back.
Woo! We've been, this night's been circled on the calendar for Max Inc. Radio for quite some time. The mascot theory is in the house.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
Now, the last time you were in here was for Flannel Fest with Beth Kelly.
That's right, back in November.
Give us a little update. How did that go?
It was amazing. It was a bigger show than we had done in the past. And in the end, we ended up raising about $43,000
for
the Keep Wisconsin Warm Fund, Cool Fund. keeping our Wisconsin neighbors in need safe in their homes.
You're going to do that again this November?
100%.
100%.
November 15th, we'll be up in Appleton. Oh. November 16th at the Barrymore again in Madison. Yeah, it's going to be a big show.
Wow, well, let's go right to the beginning of the Mascot Theory. A decade ago, tell us about starting the original band, about the original band.
It was an accident. It was a...
a happy accident.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, started having kids and started realizing that bar band gigs aren't really conducive to having kids and being out that late. So it was kind of like a lot of us in our previous band were just kind of like, let's not be out past 10 anymore. So I started doing some like coffee house stuff with a buddy of mine who I'd played with in a band called Fallen Roadies back in Platteville. And then one of those little coffee house gigs, he wasn't able to come. And so I called up my old bass player, Nick Fry, and said, "Hey, Nick, you have a band of guys down in Freeport, Illinois, bring them up. And we'll just kind of play it all together. It'll be fun." And so that was Paul Metz was on drums. And so I'm like, let's throw a band name on it. So I grabbed this out of a giant list of band names. The Mascot Theory was one of them, and it's got ties to the NCAA brackets.
See, I thought it was Bernie Brewer.
Oh, well, it could be. That'd be great. So we just started playing coffee houses, acoustic type stuff, and then we kind of learned how to play as a with full drum kits and everything, and we just started playing, and we recorded our first album with our buddy Luke Jorgensen. And that kind of just started the band, and then it just didn't stop. We just kept going.
So what's your favorite mascot?
Wow.
Bucky.
There you go. Or maybe like, is it Curdy from the Culvers? What's his?
Scoopy. Scoopy from the Culvers. Yeah, that's sure. A good mascot. I was thinking ball games. You know.
Or Big Boy.
Big Boy.
I mean, Bucky. That's the one. You got to go with Bucky.
That's the safe answer.
Yeah.
On Wisconsin.
The Mascot Theory was known as an acoustic-driven folk rock, and now after time off and the pandemic, you guys are way more electric. Is this one of those long COVID side effects?
That's good. It was kind of a little bit of boredom, I guess. It was like, let's try something different. And I kind of started playing around with a kind of a hybrid acoustic-electric, and I was always on acoustic for the entirety of the band. And it was like, and at that point, we've been playing together 8-9 years, so it was like, let's just try something a little different. Our previous band, Nick and I, was a rock band, and I was on electric then, and I just kind of wanted to get back to electric just for kicks.
Well, what was the transition like from acoustic to electric, and do you have a preference between the two now?
I love playing this way right now. We've been doing shows for about 2 years now, playing
electric,
and it's been a blast. It definitely has changed our sound a little bit. I mean, the biggest addition was, as you mentioned in the notes, adding Corey Swadley, amazing guitar player who's got so many classic rock and other rock influences that we're just like, ooh. And this newer album that is coming out soon, a lot of these songs that I had written, it was like, oh, this one feels a little Pink Floyd, this feels a little ZZ Top, this feels a little Stones, and it was like,
yeah.
Corey's like, oh, that happens to be my palette.
Yes, so yeah. I heard some of that during the sound check. I heard Stevie Ray Vaughan. Perfect. I heard Pink Floyd.
Exactly. So we really leaned in, and Tom Petty, all that kind of classic and just rock and roll. And so we're not like a classic rock band now, and we certainly don't really play many covers, but a lot of these newer songs just tended to have a little bit more oomph to them, and it just kind of gives us a little bit more dynamic range, I guess, to do something a little different.
Mm. Well, let's get to live music in the Lair with the Mascot Theory, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The first song you have for us tonight, it's called Andromeda. I just learned from Facebook that you can just barely see the Andromeda Galaxy with the naked eye, but I think my eye has clothes on.
Wow. Do you have like a rim shot or anything?
That'd be great. I've been meaning to get sound effects.
You need that. That'd be great. Andromeda. So I wrote that during the pandemic.
Yes.
And I released it on a little solo album that I had put out. Just, I was doing like those Facebook Live, like a lot of musicians, it was like, what are we going to do? We can't do anything. We can't leave the house or do anything. So I just started doing Facebook Live shows. And they were a blast for a while. Mm-hmm. And then everything got really old really fast. I kind of released this Andromeda EP that had this Andromeda song on it that I had done all at my house, and just kind of a little experimental kind of thing. And we were down in Texas when we were working on this new album. And I was just kind of dinking around. I'm like, oh, how do I play that song? They hadn't played it at all. And I was playing it, and we were down there, and it was like, oh, we should maybe do this song. And we had time, so we learned the song and did our own version of it, and then we recorded it. And yeah, it's on the album.
All right. Let's hear it.
Let's hear it right now. If you want to call and ask the Mascot Theory a question, you could do that. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. You can call or text right from the Civic Media app by just a touch of a button. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mascot Theory live in the lair on Max Inc. Radio.
Oh,
Very nice. The Mascot Theory live in the lair here on Max Inc. on Civic Media. Original local music from Wisconsin. That was outstanding. Hey, Rob Roberts just threw me a text. He's on the air at 10 o'clock tonight with After Hours. And he said, I just wanted to text in, the Mascot Theory sounds great. So
they sure do, Jimmy. The Mascot Theory has won over 20 MAMA awards, including back-to-back 2016 and 2017 Artist of the Year. Let's not leave out the Whammy Awards. Eric, you won Best Male Vocalist. What is the secret to your success, and what does it mean to have so much local support and recognition?
Man, I think it's just that, especially, obviously, we're out of Madison, so just the community of Madison musicians has been the biggest thing. It's a networking thing. It's a supporting every other band that's out there. You try to do what you can for everybody else. It's not competitions, and I think that's a big part of it. And that means, obviously, I mean, the awards are awesome. It's really great to be recognized for those things. But to me, it's way more about being able to bring other bands or younger bands into shows that maybe they wouldn't play before. Opportunities for other bands, if you have the opportunity, like Flannel Fest, we have the opportunity to bring in so many bands from around the state to try to network with each other and just try to spread the love around. So I think that's what it's mainly about.
Community building.
Exactly. And that's huge for everybody involved, I think.
Well, let's learn about the band. Guitarist Corey Swadley, you're the new guy. How did you get involved in music? What's your backstory?
Well, I owed Paul some money, and he was like, hey, do you want to come work it off?
How much money?
Some gigs, yeah.
We're getting there.
How much money was there?
Well, it was a dollar.
A dollar.
A dollar, yep. That's all I'm worth.
$5.
One simple dollar.
I mean, how did you get started in music?
I started in music. So I come from a musical family. My dad plays. My uncle Steve plays music. He was a teacher in town for a great many years. And my grandpa played. My great uncle played. The Swadleys are a long-running family of musicians. And so for me, it seemed kind of natural to be able to jump in and play with them. So my older brother was a musician. My best friends growing up were musicians. So
how old were you when you started playing?
My dad gave me my first guitar. It was a right-handed Explorer copy, and I got it at 5.
Wow.
You're left-handed?
And yes. I played it upside down, and my dad was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know.
I'm Jimi Hendrix.
But it feels normal. I just played it lefty, you know? And no, so he got us instruments. He was the type to just give us opportunities, but not ask us to move on them unless you wanted them yourself. You know, so the music was always around us. That's just what we did. You know, sitting on my grandpa's lap, playing songs on a piano, or singing songs with my family's band and stuff like that. It was just around if you wanted to do it. And so I'd say probably middle school was when I finally pulled the guitar out of the closet, because I had one always, but it didn't make any sense to me until I heard like Metallica and Nirvana and stuff like that. I remember my brother giving me my first Nirvana cassette. Mm. He put it in a box of cereal as the toy in the bottom of the box of cereal for Christmas.
That's creative.
And it was Nevermind. And it was just like, no way. Like, I could play this. It's, you know, it's effective music, but it was simple. It was 4 chords. You know, it was just like emotional music. And so that kind of got me going. And then I think it was freshman year of high school, a buddy's older brother gave us a cassette tape that side one, side A on the cassette, for those that remember cassettes, was Zeppelin 1, and side 2 was Zeppelin 2. And we played that thing until it stopped working, and then I was hooked, man. My dad got me a left-handed Gibson Les Paul when I was a sophomore in high school, and then it was like, yes, let's do this.
Well, like, you must be a Rush fan, because right now it looks like you have a left-handed Gibson ES-335.
This is a 336.
Oh, I was
because I'm not very tall
close.
Enough, so I'm not the right stature to handle a 335. So I went the smaller version, but it's
definitely
same flavor. Huge Rush fan, huge Zeppelin fan. Growing up listening to Pink Floyd. I mean, I always thought it was my music. But obviously, it was an era before me. But that's all I ever listened to was classic rock growing up. So that's kind of where I got my start.
You know, I definitely wore out my Zeppelin 3 and my Zeppelin 2 cassette tape back
right?
in the day. You know, you were also in the, or are you still in the Lower Fifth?
Group? Yes. Yep. I'm still in that group as well. Certainly.
What's going on with that? What do you got going on?
We've got some shows coming up this summer, and we still play. We still try to write, and we've all kind of gone in our own musical directions. We all kind of all have our own musical projects. Paul and I have shared the Lower Fifth for over 10 years now, and so it's still there, and we all still play. Mm-hmm. But everybody in the band also has other gigs going on, and we've all have kids and families and stuff. Yeah. So it's something that we still try to do every month. Every month we have about a show or two here and there. At least I'm hoping to have that throughout the summer. But when this opportunity to play in Mascot came along, it was to me it seemed like a very important opportunity to pursue. And so we kind of said, well, hey, we got something happening here, and with this album coming out and everything, we're really trying to stay focused on Mascot.
Well, let's get back to some live music in the lair with the Mascot Theory, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us tonight is called Lavender Blues and features guitarist Corey Swadley. Tell us about this song before you play.
Sure. Lavender Blues, I think, it was a song that was written that I wrote, and then knowing that there needed to be some amazing guitar work and, you know, Floydian style, just... And when Corey and I were working on the demos for this, it was actually super magical time for us to work together for the first time, where we're really crafting these different parts. Corey's got these crazy guitar skills and these great, great things that he's laying down. What we were able to do in the demo process was kind of work together to find the hooks, find those things that aren't just noodle, 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 and which he can do very well. But what we also found out is that, wow, there's some pretty killer parts in there. Let's pick that out. Let's do that. Let's try this, working on dynamics and different parts. And this was the perfect showcase song for a lot of his skills. So it's just a perfect match.
That's awesome. I love a good hook in a song.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just makes the song, you know?
For me, David Gilmour is my favorite. Yeah. And so, because he is like a singer with his guitar. He's doing those hooks that you remember. He's got skills, but he's not fast like some people. He's letting these notes breathe and just go and sustain for days. And to me, that's what this song kind of represents with Corey on it.
Let's check it out right now. The Mascot Theory is live in the lair. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Call or text through the Civic Media app. It's the Mascot Theory.
Salt in the wound, lavender blues, stings that it hangs like a cloud over you, disguised as a muse, perennial roots, under the covers of the lavender blues, lavender blues, lavender blues. Got nothing, we ain't got nothing to lose. Find a place by the ocean, warm with a view, want a connection, so you slip off your shoe. Walks over the water, searching for clues. The lavender blues, lavender blues, lavender blues, stranger than fiction. Than fiction.
Most excellent. The Mascot Theory live in the lair here on Max Inc. on Civic Media. Don't forget, 844-967-2789. Call or text in the Civic Media app.
Wow, Jimmy, this is incredible. I even detected a bit of King Crimson in there. So, all the songs we're hearing tonight are from your new album. The new record was recorded at Sonic Ranch Studios in Texas. Why did you choose to record in Texas, and why did some guy gift you harmonicas to record with? Is that normal in Texas?
I don't know. We've only done this once, so I'm not sure. Maybe it is. We've done a lot of albums. I think we have five before this one. Most of them we've done local. We did one album down in Nashville, our second album, I believe. And it was always kind of a thing where it's like, I want to get the band, take the band somewhere for one chunk of time in one place with zero distractions, nothing else going on. And we've got a lot going on. So it was just, can we go somewhere and just record this thing and knock it out and see what happens? And that's what happened. This is one of the most incredible studios in the world. I can't believe that we even got to be there. And it was perfect. We had seven straight days. We had studio that was wide open anytime we wanted to go in there. And we just went in and we worked super hard, but got so much done. We actually originally planned to do six songs. We ended up with 15. So things just went really well. And Andromeda, yes, like I mentioned, was the band had never even played it before. It was one of those extra ones. Right. We were like, hey, we got time. But the cool thing is that the studio, there's multiple buildings that have studios in it. It's a complex of different studios. And Chris Robinson of Black Crowes was right next door to us in a building, actually a smaller studio. We were in the big studio. He was in a small one with a band, and he was producing them. And we were kind of hanging out with him a little bit, and he had this giant box of a bunch of harmonicas that he had got for their band to be recording there. And I was like, shoot, I didn't have any harmonicas, and we had a couple songs that we wanted them. And I was like, Chris, would you mind if I borrow them? And he's like, here, take these. He gave me three or four harmonicas. So we recorded those, and it was really cool. And yeah, maybe they do that all the time. Maybe
was he
Chris
hard
is
to handle?
Down. He was not hard to handle, but he definitely loved to tell stories. He had no problem with being the guy who's
so
in the center.
So he lit your candle.
He was great.
Okay, you're cut off. No more cliches for you tonight.
All right, let's go. On keyboards tonight is Brandon Jensen. Brandon, what is your backstory, and how did you get your start playing music?
Well, I think I started music when I was like 2 years old, maybe four, singing in church. And my sister took piano lessons when I was younger, and I sort of kind of copied what she was playing by ear. And then, played saxophone in fifth grade, picked up guitar in middle school, and always kind of played keys and went to school for music, taught choir for 5 years, and here I am.
Wow.
In a nutshell.
What was it like teaching teaching choir for you? What age group did you teach, and what's the best thing and the worst thing about it?
It might take me a minute to think of the best thing, but
how about two worst things?
Well, yeah. As a choir teacher, here you have five vocals in this band.
Yeah, yeah, and harmonies work well.
Is it like herding cats?
A little bit. We don't break down the arrangements quite like I did with middle school choir, because that was a little bit more chaotic. But I taught K through 12, and so I did
all of them.
The whole spectrum.
Wow!
And fresh out of college, it was a challenge.
Yeah, and you're still playing music, and you still have long hair.
Yeah,
and it's not white.
I didn't have long hair then. That wasn't until COVID, actually, but. Teaching really didn't, it wasn't my thing. Maybe I'll go back to it again someday, but it was, that was challenging because I started playing in bands and the gigs just didn't line up with my schedule at the time. Cause like being a choir teacher, was doing musicals after school and lessons. So, and plus teaching middle schoolers was a challenge. I did like the concerts though. Like I'd have high school choir concerts. That was like fulfilling. Yeah. The moment where it's like, oh, this is all worth it. It comes together. But, the in the classroom can be
yeah. In the classroom, be a challenge. In the classroom, the class is singing off key on purpose just to get your goat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, the kid's in the bar and he's like, oh, geez, I got my fake ID and there's Mr. Jensen.
Yep. There's
he's
that
playing
too.
On stage. What am I going to do? Hey, let's get back to live music in the lair with the Mascot Theory presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us tonight is called Sliver of Maybe. And is this song about the likely success of a pickup line?
Yeah, kind of. I think the first verse is actually about asking my wife out back when we were in high school.
Oh.
So
we've been together. You're married to your high school sweetheart,
yep,
right?
Yeah, we've been together for a long time, and it's been awesome. And this song is one that I kind of wrote. Actually, this is one of the oldest songs we have in our entire catalog that we started doing, and then we kind of stopped doing. We never got around to recording it. It got forgotten during the pandemic. I was doing those shows on Facebook, and I was literally looking for any song I could possibly find of mine that I could perform, and this was one that I remembered, and I was like, oh, shoot, that's a fun song. So we started playing it, and then we got down to Texas, and that song, I had written it around the time when we were recording in Nashville, so there's a third verse that was all about Nashville and going to Nashville and everything, and we were down in Texas and started to record and got all the music done, and it was like, the next day we were going to do the vocals, and I was just sitting there like at that night, like, why am I singing about Nashville? We're in Texas. Like, I should change it. So I just wrote the whole last verse again really quick the night before. And then it's all kind of reflective of Sonic Ranch and Texas and the pecan farms that we were in. So, yeah.
Pretty interesting. The song is called Sliver of Maybe. It's the mascot, the Mascot Theory live in the lair on Max Inc. on Civic Media.
Actually the harmonica that Chris gave me, one of them.
I was hoping there was going to be a harmonica in this tonight.
Back in school, I liked a redhead girl when I was just a kid. And I rubbed that girl and at her, cause that's what young boys did. It said you and I could talk for hours, yeah, we could take it slow. Don't need to waste your pencil, but don't circle yes or no. Just a sliver, oh yeah, of a maybe, yeah. All the message, two brand new passed away. Sip my friend was getting updates from the place his body lay. I don't think it means I'm crazy if I try to reach a ghost. If I don't communication, a little touch of hope. Just a sliver.
Thank you. It's the Mascot Theory live in the lair here on Max Inc. Radio. Stick around. More live music and conversation with the Mascot Theory coming up next. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media.
If it's local music from Wisconsin, it's heard here. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Spring is the best time to sell your home. The Madison Market is hot right now. So get ahead of the spring rush and list your home today with the Aaron Weber Group. MoveToMadison.com is your resource with listings updated every 15 minutes. Easy and convenient virtual or in-person showings and meetings. Aaron Weber Group makes your selling experience perfect. MoveToMadison.com. Rapid response, going above the ordinary, and getting you what you want. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber. MoveToMadison.com. Spring is in the air.
Welcome to the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road, plus IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
Are you hungry? Let's get a tomato pie from Salvatore's Tomato Pies. Livingston Street in Madison, Monona Drive, and Main Street, Sun Prairie. There's pizza, then there's Sal's. Order your tomato pie now at salvatorestomatopies.com.
Visit Full Mile Beer Company and Kitchen in downtown Sun Prairie today. Join the Mug Club and get great perks like your own Full Mile mug and dollar off pours. 132 Market Street in downtown Sun Prairie. See the full menu and join the Mug Club at fullmilebeercompany.com.
Saturday night on the Civic Media Radio Network. Sometimes you just have to kick me to get me going, you know. It's live in the lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, the most trusted name in real estate. Buy or sell your next home now at MoveToMadison.com. Max Inc. Radio is also sponsored by Salvatore's Tomato Pies. There's pizza, then there's Sal's. Order your tomato pie right now at Salvatore's Tomato Pies. I want to give a shout out to Jeff, too, who's helping us out with some sound tonight. Owner of Green Woo. Delivery Service, legal hemp flower, hemp products, and edibles delivered right to your door. Serving Dane County. Order online right now at greendeliveryservice.company.site. greendeliveryservice.company.site.
Eric, I want to get back to the Texas recording with producer Terry Manning, who has worked with Led Zeppelin, ZZ Top, Lenny Kravitz, many others. How did you get him for this recording, and what was it like working with someone with that kind of history and experience?
Our former manager, Chuck, actually was the guy who introduced us to Terry, and they were working on a project, and they were looking for a very specific band for a specific thing. We weren't it, what they were looking for a project, but after Terry heard our stuff, he really liked it, and when we started talking to Chuck and the band, we were all talking about, well, let's do this next album, and oh, Sonic's pretty cool. Terry's actually the one who lives in El Paso now, so he's got really good relationships with Sonic Ranch, so he's the one who really hooked us up with that. But working with Terry was amazing. I know we all went down, we were super prepared. We did so many rehearsals, and we had so many demos ready to go that we just knew we were going to do the best we could, but we also had no idea what it was going to be like when we got down there, working with someone with that kind of a pedigree, and it was amazing. But we found it was just super comfortable. He's just a guy, you know, just like Chris Robinson's just a guy. but Terry was like, he was just like perfect for us because we all worked very well together. We had a really set schedule where we knew exactly what we wanted to do and when, and it just worked out. And it was a lot of fun, but it was a lot of work, and it just felt really comfortable, I guess is the big, and that's why we were so productive. And he was so surprised that we got so much done. So it was fun.
You know, you say they're just guys, and you're right. They're just guys, but they are kind of rock stars.
They kind of are.
And you had mentioned earlier that the Mascot Theory started by mistake. What is it like to present your music and get feedback and, you know, good feedback or even constructive criticism from these rock stars? From the, you know, what was that like?
I mean, that was really the first time where we've had someone like that was just like, sure. Yes, I want to work with you. And have worked with all these other people before, and that we were a notch on that belt was like just incredible. And we were, you know, at first you're like, is this pity? Like, what is this? Why are we here? But when we got there, and as we started working through these songs and recording, and Terry's like, I think his quote was something like, I've never worked with a more productive band in my life. And so like, we're like, all right, we're number one in that book. When he writes his book, we'll be number one for that topic. So yeah. It was a blast, and it was so much fun to work with him. And yeah, it was great.
That's probably a big mistake a lot of bands make when they go into the studio to record their music. They're not as prepared as they should be. And in the end, it could just cost money.
Well, that's the big thing. We're not big label money talking. Not right. That there's that really anymore anyway, but we're not that either. And so it was like, we knew we had to be ready to do what we could do as best as we could, so we could knock it out. And represent Wisconsin as best as we could, an independent band out of Wisconsin, and it went well.
So, Eric, quickly, yep. What's your backstory? How did you get started playing music? What role did your parents play?
They definitely played in a church band, and my dad played music going all the way through college. He kind of put himself through college playing in a band, and so I grew up with that. The biggest thing for me that made me want to play music was the Beatles anthology when it came out in the 90s.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And getting to watch that through my parents' eyes of reliving that when they were there, you know, and I was kind of, I've heard a ton of those songs. I mean, I listened to the oldies stations all the time. I love that music. But this was the first time I was getting to see the people behind the band, the Beatles themselves. And that was it for me. And like Corey was saying, I only listened to this and this and this. That was me for like most of like half of high school. It was like, I want to write songs. I want to do that too. So that was the big thing.
Well, let's get back to live music in the lair with the Mascot Theory presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us tonight, it's called Coming Home. Was this song written by a man with a suitcase?
I have a suitcase, so yes. Yes. This song is kind of a little bit of a love letter to, I guess, our hometowns, and just always knowing that there's a place to come back to. And we have a music video that's actually coming out on Tuesday for this song that features us traveling along to all of our hometowns.
Oh,
so
cool.
Mineral Point, Wisconsin, Orfordville, Madison, Orangeville, Warren, Illinois. So we just kind of went around to that. So that's the music video. It's got all those towns. So we're pretty proud of
who's
that.
Who's from Orfordville?
Me.
You are? Oh, okay. All right.
Yes.
Yep. I love that town. It's kind of a little cowboy town as you drive through it on that whatever highway that is. All right. We're live in the lair. Max Inc. Radio, 844-967-2789. Call or text us through the Civic Media app if you got a question for the Mascot Theory.
These blues I can't know. Just know that
Coming home, Mascot Theory on Max Inc. on Civic Media Rocker.
Well, you know, Jimmy, the Mascot Theory has an album release tour with shows coming up around Wisconsin. Going to turn some headphones up there. The main event, Space in La Crosse on Saturday, April 27th with Ghostland Radio, the High Noon Saloon in Madison on Friday, May 3rd, and Gibson Music Hall in Appleton on May 4th. All these shows are, a couple of those last two shows are with Miles Nielsen. But let's bring in bassist Nick Fry. Nick, how did you get your start in music, and what was your parents' role? And we only have a few minutes.
Yep, started music, I started in fifth grade playing saxophone. But the main reason I picked up a guitar was April 1992, saw Pearl Jam on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as I heard Alive, I wanted to play guitar. My mom bought me a guitar, like, next week. And I noodled on it for a little bit in high school, and then I landed in bass because our jazz band needed a bass player, and the high school had a bass. And then when I went to college, I was a music major for a year, and my jazz band director there, he turned me into a bass player.
Nice. Do you play a sax anymore?
Nope.
Nope. Gave it up.
Yep.
Just bass. More demand for bass.
I sold it to buy another bass.
Well, let's give the drummer some. Paul Metz, how did you get your start in music playing drums, and what was your parents' role?
Well, my brother played guitar, and my parents were like, okay, we need to continue this and get him a drum set. And we got my grandpa's old 60s Rogers out of the dust, and
wow,
yeah, started playing that and kind of just never stopped. Went through high school and playing in concert band with Mr. Brueggemann, and just
that's
kind of went from there.
That's great that you still remember, you know, your teacher's name.
Yeah, he was a big part of me continuing music, so
wow.
Yeah, the more I can shout out his name is the better.
Wow. Well, thanks so much for you guys coming in and playing. And your website, themascottheory.com. You can find you guys on Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, other socials as The Mascot Theory. We probably have only time for one more song. We'll see what happens. And let's get back to live music in the lair with The Mascot Theory.
You got to say something about this piece of art right here.
Oh, the Mascot Theory, the vinyl album.
Yes.
Jimmy has one, and he's a vinyl lover.
Double vinyl album. Yeah.
Really?
We had so much. Oh. And it's a beautiful orange marble color.
Yes, they
it's
are.
Pretty. Yeah.
Thank you, by the way.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Jimmy loves that. He loves the vinyl.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to have one more song at least. Stone Cold.
Yes.
Is this song about getting knocked out playing dodgeball?
You saw the video. Or it was a great guess. Yeah, we had the music video where we're playing dodgeball against our kids, and it was really fun to make a video and bring them back in. I use these videos as a way to like watch how my kids grow up.
Yeah.
The very first music video we ever did with our pal John Urban was like 2013 or 2014, and my kids were tiny little things then, and now it's been 10 years later and they're bigger than me, so it was fun to have have that timeline. Then there was another video in between, so it's fun to kind of watch them grow through that. But yeah,
wow.
This is called Stone Cold.
All right, Stone Cold is the Mascot Theory live in the lair. We got about 6 minutes. This will let you guys know it's Max Inc. on Civic Media.
call, but don't swing the bat. Can't take a shot. Gotta work hard to claim that spot. So give it all you got. If you want to be the lifter, you have got to be stone cold. Stone cold. Yeah, well, I could break you if you go so stone cold. Stone cold. Yeah, well, if you want to give your story to
Mascot Theory live in Delaware here on Max Inc. Radio. Thank you very much, gentlemen. It was an awesome performance by the Mascot Theory. We really appreciate it. Eric, let's step up the mic real quick, if you don't mind, and tell us, Rocker mentioned it, but the highlights of the next shows coming up. What are you excited about?
Yeah, we're just excited to finally get this album out to everybody. So we are, like Rocker said, we're going to be playing in La Crosse at the main event space with Ghostland Radio on April 20th.
Seventh.
Good job, Rocker. Thank you. And then the following week, May 3rd, we'll be up in Appleton playing with Miles Nielsen. And then on May 4th, the High Noon Saloon with Miles again.
That's awesome. You
what?
May 3rd, High Noon.
May 3rd, High Noon.
Thank you, guys. May 3rd, High Noon.
You all play up in the Fox Valley quite a bit. Appleton, you have a good fan base up there, don't you?
Appleton's great. They're our second home.
And Milo Music.
Milo Music Festival, which we are, I don't know if we can say it, but we are playing there again.
Yeah, go ahead and say it.
It's
yeah.
not quite out yet, but it's going to be a blast. But it's like they've curated that festival, and around that festival, they've really made their town into something that's just amazing and just welcoming bands from all over the country to come in, and they have a fan base there that just loves music. So and everything, yeah.
And how can people get a hold of the vinyl?
Go to themascottheory.com. There's a store link up on there, and you can pre-order it right now, and we'll ship it to you.
Oh.
A CD as well, if you do that old school format, too.
Yes, did you have cassette tapes?
I looked into it.
Yeah.
I thought about it.
We talked about cassette tapes more tonight than any other show, I think.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right, awesome.
I don't even have a cassette player anymore.
I don't think I do either.
Thank you for listening to the Live in the Lair. Thank you to the Mascot Theory. You guys are awesome. Rob Roberts is in next with After Hours here on Max Inc. Radio. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night, Sunday night at 6 p.m. for the Max Inc. Top 10, the top 10 songs of the week from the Wisconsin bands like you guys.
Hey, cool.
It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in Northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden mulch, or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufix started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufix charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.